All right, we're recording.
Okay, the State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting for September 27, 2023, being held telephonically, will come to order. Director Jaraminski, would you please note the roll?
Absolutely. Just pull up my list so I don't forget anyone here. Board member Tomas.
Here.
Board member Lahavi.
Present.
Board member Klein.
Present.
Board member Zimmerman.
Present.
Board member Fontes.
Present.
And Chairperson Tan.
Present. Good afternoon and welcome to the September Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting. As this is a teleconference meeting, I will ask that each member identify themselves prior to speaking and that all votes be done through roll call by the executive director. The first item on the agenda, item number 3, declarations of any conflicts of interest. Are there any? Okay, none being stated, we will move to agenda item number 4. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding continuing education course approval. Looks like the foundations of acupuncture. Director Jaraminski, could you provide a summary, please?
Absolutely, board members, Chairperson Tan. This is just a regular course approval application. It looks like they've submitted the documentation that they need to complete the minimum requirements that we have in statute. And so it's just up for the board to review this and make determination as to whether this is substantially related to the practice of acupuncture and then to determine whether the 4 hours of continuing education that they're requesting is a proper amount for this CE. We did invite this individual to be present today, but I don't see them on our list of individuals on the call. So unfortunately, you won't be able to ask them any questions, but it does look like they have submitted the required documentation. So our recommendation would be to approve.
Okay. Is there any discussion? We have Tally.
I just have a quick question. It looked really easy to me, and I was surprised that an acupuncturist would need this kind of information to review. Doesn't it seem like they should know that material if they're practicing?
Yeah, David, do you have any insight into the purpose of the foundations course and who it's targeted at?
You know, I haven't spoken with this person, you know, about the course extensively, only, you know, gone back and forth as far as invites in the email, and they're submitting their application and making sure we got all the materials. So I can't talk to that specifically. I do agree that it does seem kind of a like acupuncture 101 sort of course, but
sure.
It is related, does appear to be related to acupuncture, and they have submitted the documentations for approval.
And just yes, Vice Chair Fontes, please.
I agree, but I do see all that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So I see no, I mean, I understand your concerns and comments, but, you know, after years and years and years, I think it's fine for people to review the basics. I forget a lot.
Sure. And any other discussion points? Do we have a motion to approve the foundations in acupuncture course?
This is Chair.
I'd like to raise a motion to approve foundation in acupuncture.
I will second.
Fontes. So we have a motion by board member Zimmerman and seconded by board member Fontes to approve the foundation in acupuncture CEU course. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Item number five. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding the substantive policy statements and potential rulemaking. Director Jerominski, you've provided them for our review. Please provide a summary. I was just kind of concerned, is there any changes to it?
Yeah, we do have a couple of items I wanted to bring to the board for consideration. We've had for the, I guess first we'll do the acupuncture assistance. Currently, our substantive policy statement allows for students who have got to the clinical portion of their training to use that as their use that training that they've received as the training qualifications to become an acupuncture assistant. And so, however, we have received a couple of applications from individuals who have passed their course. They're no longer in clinicals. They now have their degree in acupuncture, and they want to register as an acupuncture assistant, I imagine, while they're, you know, looking to get themselves set up in their regular practice. And so our substantive policy statement doesn't consider that. So I can't approve them as an acupuncture assistant or approve their training, even though it's definitely more than sufficient. And so I would just ask the board consider whether allowing individuals who have obtained acupuncture training at the level of a regular acupuncturist to also be an acupuncture assistant.
Okay, and so the assumption there, Director Jeremy, is that they have finished their formal studies, yet they have not maybe passed some of the national board exams for the requirement to become licensed acupuncturist, and they have not completed the clean legal, potentially. Is that the situation?
That could be the situation, yeah, absolutely. Or perhaps they've been hired at a facility where, you know, the first step is to work as an assistant for a few weeks or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what their particular situation is, but it's likely, yes, they haven't passed their exams and they're still waiting for licensure.
Okay. Vice Chair Fontes, please.
Yeah, I agree with Board Member Lojave. There's a feedback coming from Board Member Zimmerman's microphone, and it's kind of, you know, it's not kind of, it's very distracting.
There it is there. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. And we are...
I'm sorry. It was so distracting that I didn't catch most of that. So, sorry, I'm going to ask that you begin again, Director Jerominski.
Absolutely, yeah. Chair Tan, board members, the question, our substantive policy statement currently allows individuals who have reached the point in their training where they're now doing clinicals to use that amount of training to qualify as an acupuncture assistant. And so the question is now, individuals who have taken and passed all their training as an acupuncturist now want to become registered as an acupuncture assistant because they either haven't taken and passed their exams yet, or they, whatever other reason that they, you know, want to work as an acupuncture assistant, but they don't technically qualify under their training no longer technically qualifies under the substantive policy statement because they're no longer in their clinicals, because they passed through that and now they've graduated from their education. And so I would just ask that the board consider whether you would extend that to individuals who have graduated the course, as well as individuals who are currently enrolled in their courses.
Right. So we have students that are currently interns that would like to have this designation. At what point in their scholastic journey do we say you're qualified? And is there like a, is there a point where they go from not being qualified to being qualified? Like when they're, once they're, you know, in clinical rotations, are they qualified?
Right. So, Chair Tan, Board Member Fontes, the current substantive policy statement allows them to work as an acupuncture assistant once they become registered with the board. at the point where they are in their clinical rotations. And so those students are allowed to practice as an acupuncture assistant if they become registered with the board using the training that they have. Now, the question is, once they graduate from their acupuncture course entirely, and now they have a master's degree in acupuncture or whatever degree they receive, can they still get registered as an acupuncture assistant?
I get that, but how do they go from I'm in clinical rotations to becoming an acupuncture assistant? I mean, is there a piece of paper that says I'm in clinical rotations, I give this to the board? I mean,
well, I imagine Director Jarminski would have to assess their definitely that they're doing clinical subjects within their acupuncture degree.
Is that
the requirement, Director Jarminski?
How do you verify?
Right. So Chair Tan, board members, as you know, we do have to review applicants for acupuncture assistance to register them with the board. Each college designates which hours are clinical hours versus which hours are didactic hours. And so what we would do is ask that individual to submit either a letter from the college stating that they're now participating in their clinical rotations, or a copy of, you know, unofficial transcripts or something to that something that matter that shows that they now have clinical hours and that they're working toward it, or enrolled in clinical hours. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah. And going to the main question is, the person who has graduated from a program, I really don't see any problem with them getting automatic admission to become a acupuncture assistant. Does anyone else have any concerns there or discussion?
Well, I mean, I'm concerned with the process. So then do they submit their graduation papers? Is that how we verify this?
Yeah, Chairperson Tan, Board Member Fontes, yes, we have two individuals who submitted their transcripts to us showing that they completed their training and they'd like to become an acupuncture assistant, but we're unable to approve them at this point because the substantive policy statement precludes them from doing so.
Right, and so the basically the transcripts are the litmus test, and, you know, if you got as far as clinicals, then you're in.
Yeah, so what Board Member Fontes, I think, is suggesting is that is a higher level of clinical study, so it should be incorporated. But they have technically left their current study, so he just wants to incorporate that in the substantive policy statement, maybe reword it to include your idea, basically. Would that be correct, Director Jarminski?
Right, yeah. Chairperson Tan, Board Member Fontes, yes. You know, in government, if it's not explicit, it doesn't happen. And so we need to have it, you know, stated, otherwise we're not allowed to do it.
Can we make that a part of the application so it's self-explanatory? So, you know, if somebody wants to go on there, oh, download this, oh, I can either submit A, B, or C?
So the application, Chairperson Tan, Board Member Fontes, yes, the application does ask for what training that they've received as an acupuncture assistant. And so, you know, the board currently has only approved one program at Stuck Community Acupuncture, I think.
For one employee.
Right, right. And so
the floodgates are not quite open.
Not yet. And so I think, you know, we can definitely put a list saying, you know, if you have received, you know, training from, you know, these, you know, these courses or individuals, or, you know, from an educational organization, you know, we can definitely include that on the application. But I think it's pretty clear as is. I just need the authority to approve mm-hmm. them or not.
And I think we just include it as an either an extra point, or you're thinking about adapting the point. We have, you know, requirements to become an acupuncture assistant, and one is point D. You know, being currently enrolled in a board-approved program of acupuncture designed to prepare the student to become a licensed acupuncturist. I think the issue here is it says being currently enrolled, and those people have finished their studies and they're not a licensed acupuncturist, so we just need to include a certified process that acknowledges that once you have a degree, a formalized degree program, and you've qualified for that, I think that would be totally fine for me. Does that sound reasonable?
Right. And then maybe on the application, indications to submit transcripts.
Yeah, well, that the I think Executive Director Jaraminski already asked for that requirement to be approved. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, do we have a motion? Do we need a motion for this, Director Jaraminski?
Yeah, Chairperson Tan, absolutely. If you could give us a motion, give me a motion stating to modify the substantive policy statement regarding acupuncture assistant training programs to include having taken and passed a course of training as an acupuncturist. I can edit that and get it up on the website.
Is there a motion to adapt the substantive policy statement to approve graduates of an approved school?
This is Vice Chair Fontes. I would like to make the motion described by Director Jaraminski to include current students as well with the proper transcripts.
Do we have a second?
Board member, Lahavi, sorry. I second.
Okay, motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Lahavi to grant Director Jaraminski the ability to change the substantive policy statement in regards to the acupuncture assistant to include graduates. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. The director will record the vote. Thank you. Item number six, the next item on the agenda is regarding applications for licensure and certification. Director Jaraminski, can you provide us a summary?
Chairperson Tan, if it's okay with you, I'd like to go back one step to item 5B for the herbal therapies.
Apologies, yes.
Thank you. We also have an individual who has taken and passed course through their education as an acupuncturist in Florida for acupoint injection therapy. And so they've taken the course through their college, but not necessarily through the training courses that we've approved for APIT. And so it's a 60-hour course. It's probably, a perfectly fine course, but it doesn't qualify necessarily for their training here. And so they'd have to retake that 60-hour course that they've already taken, basically, in order to do APIT here in Arizona. And so my question for you is whether, that course is approved in Florida for APIT. The question is whether the board would like to approve APIT training courses that have been approved by other states without review, or if you'd like to have each course reviewed, even if it's been approved by another state. Now, currently for our CE, for example, we approve for CE anything that the NCCAOM approves or anything that any other state has approved for CE. And so this obviously isn't continuing education, but if it's substantially similar to what we do. And so I just wanted to bring it to the board for consideration.
And just confirming, Director Jermans, after the analysis, you are confident that the amount of hours are equivalent to the courses that we're recommending?
It's an equal number of hours.
Okay. Vice Chair Fontes.
Can we broaden the scope of this discussion to include practitioners who already have this in their scope of practice, who are acupuncturists with dual licensure?
Chairperson Tan, Board Member Fontes, what licensees would you anticipate that would affect? We don't have a great deal of individuals who are dual licensed with us currently.
And can I just go back to the substantive policy statement on herbal therapies? In the final requirements, it does have licensees must receive board approved prior to injecting herbal medicine on plant materials. All licensees must have completed one of the following. And Part B says APIT education as part of their formal acupuncture training as determined by the board after the review of the official transcripts. Would that not be sufficient, Director Jaraminski?
Yes, that for this particular individual, yes, because it was done through their collegiate studies, right? But
right.
You know, the question is that there are potentially courses out there that might have been approved in Oregon or Florida or right. You know, New Mexico, right? That are of equivalent hours, but wouldn't necessarily be approved in Arizona, even though the person's now moved and is working here. So they'd have to retake the 60-hour right. training course, you know.
But wouldn't the assumption is that they did that training within their CCAOM approved acupuncture school? Is that
no? It's not necessarily.
Okay, that's probably an issue then. Okay. Any other discussion?
I want to add, if I may,
Chairperson
I researched
Zimmerman.
This very thoroughly. This is Chairperson Zimmerman. I researched this very thoroughly, and I was very impressed with the classes we approved. One of my dilemmas right now, to give you a similar situation, I am not boarded in animal acupuncture per the requirements of what we passed. So I'm taking classes in the required training. I feel we're really on a slippery slope if we start saying a very broad statement that we'll approve anything that's been approved in another state. I'm very concerned. This is very new. And I think we need to be conservative. I truly do. I'm not objecting to the fact I'm taking this class in animal acupuncture in order to have that certification. And I feel people should also step up to the plate and do the same. These were close classes. I felt very comfortable, were very well documented, and I could approve them. So I don't support this.
Thank you. Well, is there any other comments or discussion?
I think we got sidetracked by the one I brought up. So, for instance, if someone has been performing intramuscular injections under another licensure, would they need to get retrained in?
So, Chairperson Tan, Board Member Fontes, you know, our statutes consider the scope for only our acupuncturists, and so and only under the scope of this license. So, if a person has, you know, the scope under their under a separate license to perform, you know, any modality, then they can do that under that license, but not necessarily under ours, right? So, there may be different competing. And varied levels of scope and authority to perform certain functions.
Okay. Board Member Al-Havi?
Yeah. If someone has a license from another state, I think it would be nice. It would be ideal to be able to review it. And then if it's legit to the board, then they wouldn't have to retake it. That sounds okay with me.
Okay. Any other comments?
And Chairperson Tan, if you mind, just one more question. You know, regarding the having taken the training as part of their education course, it does say upon board approval or board review of their transcripts. You know, I'm assuming, you know, because the board's delegated these approvals to me generally, that I'm allowed to do that. But because it says the board, I just want to confirm that the board. You know, doesn't want to review the education transcripts for those at each meeting, and they're okay with me reviewing them.
Yeah, I personally think that would be fine for you to review it. I think the language in the substantive policy statement is substantial already because it's only an APIT course that we've approved, or it's an APIT education as part of the formal acupuncture education. So it does have to be part of the CCM approved college that you're studying acupuncture that you've done that. I feel that is sufficient. Anything outside of that would have to be definitely questioned by the board. Does that sound reasonable to people? Director Jaraminski, do we need any action on this? Do we need further, do you want us to... in the case of the person that's actually requesting that was part of their formal acupuncture training, correct?
That's accurate, yes.
Are we comfortable with that, the rest of the board members? Even though it's out of state, but it is part of their formal acupuncture training, I think I'm reasonably comfortable with that. Do we need a motion?
No, Chairperson Tan, board members, unless you'd like to make a change, I'm happy to leave it the way it is.
And Mona, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson Tan, members of the board. I don't have that application. I think that would be something that the board would need to review the actual application and the facts before them. I don't have it unless I'm overlooking it.
Right. So this, Mona, this particular individual, they submitted their, they got a certificate from their college saying that they completed the course. So we're going to have to circle back with them to get a copy of their actual transcripts showing that they've received it. But, we don't have a application per se for the APIT courses. They just submit their training to us. We review it and go, yes, it's one of the approved courses. And then we add it to their, I don't know if the word, the scope or whatever, but we put it in their file.
Right. But my point was whether or not the board had all that information specifically to the case that you're talking about to review to make the decision. And if they felt they needed it, but maybe moving forward, that could be something that could be provided.
Right. Absolutely. And if I was bringing a case specifically to the board, they would have all that information, but I wasn't having them review that individual necessarily because we already have authority to review that one. Mm-hmm. And so this was just a general discussion about whether the board wanted to provide a blanket approval for individuals who had received approval from other states or APIT programs, or if they wanted to continue with it as is.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's and I suppose it's part of the development of the substantive policy statement, making sure that we're including what we have, or do we need to include more than what we have, or do we need to be concerned with the inclusions that we have, correct?
Right, absolutely. That's why these policy statements are important as a first step toward, writing rules, is that, the first, year or so is kind of amorphous as far as how we're going to regulate it and, what the requirements are going to be. And so I'm glad that we're leaving this on the agenda for the board to review it and make these decisions.
Okay, and Director Jarominski, would you like a motion here at all, or if we feel that the substantive policy statement is well enough worded at the moment, can we move on to the next item?
I think I'm okay, unless, I think I'm okay.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion before we close that? Item 5, was there anything else on lasers, Director Jarominski, that you wanted to raise?
No, I don't have anything on lasers. The board's just asked to have that item on the agenda every meeting for the next while. I don't have anything specific on that one.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding applications for licensure and certification. Director Jarominski, can you give us an introduction?
Chairperson Tan, board members, I'm going to pass this off to Richard, who will provide us an overview for applicants A through L.
Thank you, Richard.
Chairman Tan, board members, I want to present the ratification of licenses for items A through K. These are individuals who submitted applications. Excuse me, as acupuncturists, we both feel that they met all the requirements. They submitted all of the necessary documentation and went through, and all of their background checks were clean. And we just asked for the ratification of the decision.
Okay, do we have any discussion for the ratification of the licenses, new licenses issued? Is there a motion?
I'd like to raise a motion, as board member Zimmerman.
Raise a motion to approve the ratification of licenses A through L that were issued by the executive director in this agenda.
Do we have a second?
Board Member Fontes, I'll make a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. The ratification of the licensures. The director will record the vote.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Richard. Just as clarification, item L was a certificate for a regular acupuncture, acu-detox specialist. And so we've issued that person a certificate rather than a license in this instance.
Thank you.
One more item for this agenda item. M is for Michelle Keller. I believe Michelle is on the line for the board to have a conversation. You know, normally we review and approve all these applicants if they have met all the requirements for licensure. Michelle Keller has submitted all the required documentation. Her background and history meets the requirements for licensure as far as her education. There were some items that were undisclosed on her application for licensure. I think that if you have any questions about that specifically, it looks like our Assistant Attorney General Mona has her hand up to talk about that. So I'll pass it on to her.
Chair Tan, members of the board, I just think that we would need a motion on L. That was the certificate. I believe that Richard's motion was A through K. I think it was A through K. So I think L got left off. So just a point of order, if we could have that approved for ratification. I believe the distinction was a certification, and I think it was maybe the page break on the two pages of the agenda.
No, you're fine. Okay. I'll raise a motion for the ratification of the certificate of Suzanne Perkins, which was issued by the executive director in the agenda.
And this is Board Member Fontes. I will second.
Great.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Good. The motion passes unanimously for item L. The director will record the vote. Thank you, Assistant Attorney General Baskin.
Thank you. I have no comments on Ms. Keller.
Okay, thank you. So could we resume there again, Director Drominski, regarding Ms. Keller?
Absolutely. The issue were undisclosed charges which were revealed on her criminal history report dating back to 1996. The last charge was in 2011, which is 12 years ago. None of them are specifically related to the practice of acupuncture. Ms. Keller has received a set aside from the court for these charges. And so the issue for me is not necessarily the charges themselves, because they were set aside by the court, but because they were not disclosed on the application. And so we're bringing them to you for the board so that you can have a conversation with Ms. Keller about her application, background, and history, and then make a determination on her application.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Well, I would like to question Ms. Keller.
Yes. Is that appropriate, Director Drominski?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We invite Keller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
So I understand that you made a submission and an omission, which is basically lying to the board. We don't like that.
I know. And I did not mean to check the box. No.
That's irrelevant because you did. So usually when we mean to do something, we either check it or don't. So this was, I'm not going to accept I didn't mean to. You did it. I expect you to own up to it if we're going to have a meaningful conversation.
And I understand that. I probably overlooked it due to the fact on that day I was notarizing for other people to get their certificates. I was trying to get mine in, and it was just it was something I overlooked, and I apologize. My story is my background. I share it everywhere I go.
And Ms. Keller, this is your first application for a licensed acupuncture?
Yes.
Okay, was there any other questions?
I like the letter. This is Board Member Lahavi. There was such a nice, positive letter on her behalf.
Thank you.
The recommendation. In terms of the criminal background history, Director Jaraminski, can you give us a review a little bit on that in terms of what the violations were?
Chairperson Tan, board members, you know, going back to 1996, just generally, it appears that almost all of the charges related to drug possession or solicitation in one way or another. Two in 96, one in 97, two in 2000, two in 2000, one, two, three, four, four in 2003, so on and so forth, as well as failure to appear to court for those violations. And so it looks like at this point it's been taken care of. We have letters from the court stating that, you know, she's complied with all the requirements of the court, and the judge has set aside these charges.
Thank you. Is there any other questions, Ms. Keller? Director Jaraminski, what would you like hear from us at the board?
So if the board felt comfortable with approving her application, then your options are to either approve her application for licensure, to issue her a license with conditions of probation, or to deny her a license for acupuncture, stating the reasons that she was disqualified under the statutes.
What would the probation include?
That would be entirely up to the board. You know, I don't know that the board, you know, since I've been on with the board, we haven't done that. So I don't know what this board's, you know, background and history would be on that. You know, at other agencies, you know, if a person had a very, like a lengthy or recent history, we'd require them to comply with the requirements of the court. We'd require them to, you know, take and pass, you know, drug tests. We, you know, ask them to take continuing education that remediated specific issues. But for this instance, person's complied with all the court requirements. So I'm not sure exactly what the board would want specifically to make them comfortable with issuing the application under conditions of probation. So that would be something that I would lean on the board themselves to help me develop.
Okay.
I personally don't think this lightly, that with a history and then, you know, the deception and willful deception on the application.
Ms. Keller, maybe you can give us a little bit of a background. I mean, since your last violation, 2011, and what has happened since then to give us some trust in that, and what is your intention once you get a license? Is it to work for someone else, start your own clinic? Do you have any aspirations there?
So I am a person in recovery, as mentioned. I've been clean since 2005. Since then, I have also adopted three little girls. And even one of my little girls who was in, unfortunately, a situation where the group home or the people of the group home badly beat her, had sex with her, everything else you'd probably think of. And she comes to me. She says, "Mom, I feel like touching somebody. Can you do my ears?"
So that is why doing this is so important to me. Not only for her, but others. As I work in behavioral health, it helps them. I have seen the change in people doing acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Good. Is there any other questions? Do we have a motion here?
I move to approve the application, personally, for Michelle Keller.
So Board Member LaHavi would like to raise a motion to approve licensure application, provided she meets all the current requirements. Is there a second for that?
This is Board Member Jose. I would be under approval with a probation, and I think if we were to stretch this out and find out what requirements would be good, that would be ideal.
This is Vice Chair Fontes. I am in congruence with Board Member Thomas.
Director Jaraminski, in terms of a probationary period, do we need to specify the time? Do we need to provide a motion? Please lead us on that.
Yeah, so Chairperson Tan, board members, so this individual, you know, the last drug-related charge was in 2005, and so it's now been, 18 years. And so, as far as probation, I would need to know what would make you comfortable issuing your license. Do you want random drug tests? Do you want this person to participate in, AA or its equivalent, that sort of thing? Is there a course in, ethics or something like that you want to make them take a certain amount of continuing education in, or you can simply, require them to be on probation for, 3 months or 6 months or a year or whatever, and the board can review it and remove that probation in the future. This would obviously be a consent. The board wouldn't just be able to order it necessarily. And so it would be a consent as part of the approving the license. It looks like our Assistant Attorney General has her hand up on this issue.
Yes, thank please. You. Chairperson Tan, members of the board, pursuant to your statute, ARS 3239-51E, what your board ability to do at this time is, instead of denying, revoking, or suspending a license, the board may file a letter of concern, issue a decree of censure, prescribe a period of probation, or it goes on to restrict. And then the board may also issue a non-disciplinary order requiring the licensee to complete a prescribed number of hours of continuing education in an area prescribed to the board regarding the licensee's understanding of current development skills, procedures, and or treatment. So in addition to probation, you could also offer the applicant a consent agreement for, it appears that this is a disciplinary letter of concern or a disciplinary decree of censure that would outline the non-disclosure portion of the on the application and very briefly the history. And then that would be part of the record with the board. And should something else come up, the board would have that as far as the history of the applicant. You could also impose a probationary period, but again, Mr. Jaraminski identified what some of the maybe problematic issues are with that. But those would be your options.
Okay, thanks.
Also, just grant the license. So
thank you. And just for clarification purposes, Board Member Fontes, Board Member Tomas, the idea of probation is more about the history of this particular individual, or more about the ticking of the box that actually was stating incorrectly that there was some sort of criminal history?
Well, I think I might have viewed it differently if we did tick the box, but given the current circumstances, I want to say that I'm not insensitive to the area of addiction. That is my specialty here at Natural Medicine and Detox. So I am sensitive and aware of the nature of this. Did Board Member Thomas just leave the meeting?
May have.
Looks like we might have lost him. We still have quorum.
Yeah, I'm just trying to clarify whether, I mean, that, you know, that's going to be influential in if we choose a letter of concern, if we choose requirements for this applicant.
Well, if I may continue, I know in the past when things, disciplinary measures coming up, that our AG has suggested if we do a disciplinary measure that notes this in the record, then it'll come up. Otherwise, what tends to happen is we don't have a record of things, and then things go by and it comes up, and you know, it'll be a whole new set of board members, you know, maybe in 5-10 years. So I think I would like it to be on the record there.
Right, and that in the style of a letter of concern. Yes, Director Jarominski.
Yeah, and I think Chairperson Tan, board members, I think you were about to say what I was. I think that, you know, just listening to the discussion, it sounds like the board is less concerned necessarily with her current sobriety and more concerned with maybe decision making processes. You know. And her, you know, with the answering of the question on the application and that sort of thing. And so it might be beneficial to the board, instead of doing a probation of some kind, to do just what you're considering, is to, you know, grant the license and issue a letter of concern, put that in the file, along with, as AG Baskins mentioned, you know, noting the background history of this individual, so that if something similar happens again, we could use that as a factor in the in that complaint.
Absolutely. I think that sounds reasonable.
I agree.
Do we have a motion?
Excuse me. So this is Board Member Fontes. I would like to, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that it would be a motion to grant licensure upon signing a consent agreement. I'm just going to say hypothetically, for a disciplinary letter of concern for non-disclosure on the application regarding criminal history.
That stuff. this is Board Member Fontes. I would like to make the motion as outlined so eloquently by our AG. Is that going to work?
Yes, that's.
Do we have a second?
I'll second, Board Member Klein.
So should we not wait for our other board member who disappeared? I mean, I would
think we still have quorum, so.
Okay. Well, proceed.
Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Klein. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Yes, this would be a discipline, there would need to be a roll call. Thank you.
Director Jarominski, could you have a roll call, all in favor?
Absolutely. Board Member Lahavi.
Yes.
Board Member Klein.
Aye.
Board Member Zimmerman.
Aye.
Board Member Fontes.
Aye.
It looks like Board Member Tomas is absent. And Chairperson Tan.
Aye.
So our potential licensee, did she leave the meeting?
No, she's still here, I think. I can see two others.
Yeah, she's still here.
So, you know, we're going to go ahead and do this. I would caution you to take these things seriously and for you to own your past.
I own it. I'm on YouTube sharing my story, so I truly that, own
that
it.
Includes the licensure application.
Yes, and I apologize profusely for the wrong answer. I just again, it was a stupid effort on my part.
There are consequences for deceiving people on this board.
I understand, and I wasn't trying to deceive anybody.
Whether you were, you know, I'm not, we're not, you and I are not in agreement on this. You
understand.
And backtracking and saying, oh, I oversight, that's not the appropriate response here.
Right. And I said I understand and I apologized.
Thank you.
It won't happen again.
We are going to go ahead and go ahead with your licensure, but should there be any other infractions, you will most definitely lose your license.
I understand that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Vice Chair Fontes. The motion passes unanimously. The director will record the vote. Item number 6, next item on the agenda is...
I'm sorry, can I leave now? Sorry.
I'm up to item number 7.
Millie.
Thank you, Ms. Item number 7, the next item on the agenda is regarding the Executive Director's Report. Director Jaraminski?
Yeah, Chairperson Tan, board members, just generally, you know, things are operating as normal here at the board. We're still working on smoothing out a couple of the kinks in the new database that's really coming along. We're still unable to pull reports out of it, and so that's something we're trying to get fixed here. As far as that goes, you know, our surveys are generally positive, which is unusual, but we're glad to have it. I want to attribute that mostly to Richard because he, you know, answers the phones and takes care of the vast majority of the emails. And so I think that's a reflection of him doing a good job. Our website, you know, Chairperson Tan has been obviously thoughtful about the website and making sure that we're putting forward a professional image to the public, and so we've been working to update some images and make some changes on there, and so that's been done, and so we have a kind of a new look and feel, and so you can thank Chairperson Tan for that, for making us look good.
Please take a look, and if you've got any comments, we just changed a lot of the images and trying to make it look a little bit more professional from the user end, so take a look. All other board members, if you have any comments, we'd be happy to address them.
Looks great. Thank you for your initiative.
Thank you. Director Jaraminski, was there anything else in the executive director's report?
No, I think my third item there, we're going to cover in item 8. So,
item 8, right. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, possible action regarding budget and fees. Okay, that's the big one. Yes, Director Jaraminski.
Yeah, Chairperson Tan, board members, you know, we wanted to talk about our fees going into the future, you know, starting in January, you know, and so they asked me to kind of do
some research on what other states are doing with their fees.
I do that, and you know, of the 50 states in the union, we're sitting at about 22 in the fees, and so we're, you know, kind of somewhere in the middle there, you know. That is considering the fact that the most expensive fees in the country, Nevada has a $700 a year renewal, for a 1 year renewal for acupuncturists. Texas has $667, but that's for a 2 year renewal. And Maryland has a $651 renewal, but that's for 2 years also. So if we raised our fees to the level that we're considering, that would probably put us, you know, somewhere in the top 15. Let's see.
What's the proposed amount?
It would probably put us in the top 12 of the country. But
just proposed increase, Director Jaraminski?
Right, and so we're considering a $30 increase, and so that would put us at $305 for license renewal. And that would make us, I'm sorry, just looking at my list one more time, but that would make us the 15th highest in the country. We're currently the 22nd.
Just below Texas, right?
That would put us below Idaho. No, put us below Rhode Island. So it's interesting because there are a lot of states that have very low renewals. Like, for instance, I want to say, like Alaska has a $325 renewal fee, but it's for 2 years. But Alaska also has a combined board where they have one agency that regulates many boards. And so they have some cost efficiencies there. And they also don't have a large number of licensees compared to some states. And so so their fees are much lower.
So if we combined with another board, we could lower them?
Well, theoretically, yeah, theoretically, yeah. But I wouldn't say that too loud. So
I think we've discussed this budget issue before. We know that we do need more money in the budget if we're operating as we are right now. We still need to apply for the appropriation for that approval, right? And and we're on target to potentially raise the fees in January. Is that correct?
Right. So Chairperson Tan, board members, we ran in the red last year. Revenues over expenditures. We were several thousand dollars in the red. And we also ran over our appropriation. We had to do, we had to be creative but appropriate in our accounting in order to stay within our appropriation. And so we've submitted a budget request that will put our appropriation at the correct place. But if we don't get our licensing fees to the place where we're, revenues over expenses in the black again, where we're making more money than we're spending, the board's going to be in a real bind here in the next, 6 years. And so, I would just keep it in mind, as we're coming to the January meeting, we have the December 6th meeting after this one, and then we have our January meeting. And so I would just ask that you be thoughtful about those fees and going into the next meeting. Because it does look like at the very least we would need probably a $30 fee increase for renewals.
Right. And that's why we've got it as a recurring item on the agenda, just to raise any discussions as we're moving forward. And is there any discussion?
I'm in support of it, but I guess that's when the time comes, I suppose. We vote on this in January, is that correct?
Yeah, the board has statutory authority to set fees each January. And so January would be the time to consider and make a vote on the fees. And just as an expression of how dire the situation is, we're not the board hasn't raised fees in over 10 years, and so it's been quite a long time. And at this point, I'm taking leave without pay for, several days, during the year in order to try and reduce the amount of money that we're spending so that we stay within our appropriation. And so that's where the board's at, financially.
That's
at least fee increases.
Right. And we've gone back and forth, and none of us as licensed acupuncturists would like to see increases in fees. But when you look at the back end, we really have no choice, and we know that we don't want to increase it too much. And we don't want to increase it too little, so we want to just have that sweet spot there, right?
And Director Jerminski already receives enough punishment. We don't need to further this.
Are we able to move on, Director Jerminski?
Unless you have a specific motion or a request from me regarding this topic, no.
No, I think it's just good to remind us what we're still planning, and to give us any updates and just make sure anyone has any concerns has an opportunity to do that. Item number 9, the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding future board meeting dates and times. Director Jerominski?
Board members, the next four board meetings are on the agenda here. I've spoken with Chairperson Tan, and he'd like to have, one in-person meeting a year, and so we decided that the January board meeting was probably a good time to do that, since that's when the board elects officers and sets fees and does a few other things each year. And so the plan is to have an in-person meeting January 24th in Phoenix. Good. Our board office is here. Yeah. So
I thought he was going to want it in Montana or wherever he is.
Yeah, Montana would be ideal. It might be a little cold in January. Yeah.
Well, that will be exciting. It'll be the first time we get to meet in person after we've been on the board for so long for many of us. Okay. The next item on the agenda is a call to the public. Was there anyone in the public that would like to say anything? Do we have any members of the public on board here, Director Jerminski?
I don't believe so.
Okay, item number 11. Are there any items that board members would like to be placed on future agendas? Okay, there being no further business, we are adjourned.